हरिः ॐ सहनो भवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 122. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Draupadi was encouraged by Kunti, who supplied her with assistance and appropriate items for worship, cham chodi ta. The word cha indicates that she also worshipped their daughters and wives of their sons. She worshipped each one with all methods of worship, sarva saha. Bhadra was worshipped between Satyabhama and Jambavati because she was considered equal. Her brothers gave her with devotion as the fathers of Satyabhama and Jambavati gave their daughters. Shaibya refers to Mitravinda. The second cha refers to Lakshmana, or Shaibya can mean auspiciousness. This word then refers to Lakshmana, who had all auspicious qualities. She was worshipped before Nagnajiti because her great devotion to the Lord. This is clear from the discussion at Kurukshetra. As with the eight principal queens, she worshipped other wives along with the wives of their sons and grandsons. She gave other items like food, rooms, and bed. Yeah, so in other words, all these things are considered about the relationships and positions and everything. You have to consider all that. That's the whole point. So now we may consider that to be a difficulty or, you know, a distraction from the efficiency of getting things done, but then we have to consider, what are we getting done? So are we getting done relationships? Are we getting done some external form that relationships are supposed to happen in, but the relationships aren't going to happen because the relations are a disturbance? You understand? So it'll go from relationships down to trying to just be efficient in relationships. You know, it means try to work around them, to we'll just pick those things that don't have to deal with relationships. And then we'll end up, you know, as the modern scenario where no one really has, means you have to be on internet to have a social life. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that even though there's so much claim of improvement in society, in actuality, the quality of relationships, the quality of interaction is plummeted. Yes.
The difficulty with noise with ourselves is that some devotees are very efficient in terms of their personal sadhana and development, and they want to develop relationship, but it takes, you know, a lot of time, obviously, especially in the beginning, you know, establishing relationship and like that, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And some other devotees, they're very accommodating, you know, they spend time and you feel really good, but then they're on sadhana, they're completely, it's like they don't have sadhana. It's like it's in between.
Yes.
Whatever happens, like that. So is there like proper balance for that?
It's just a matter of you associate with those individuals on the platforms that they can function at. So in other words, those that don't have a sadhana and you can't do much about, you associate with them on levels that they're inspired by. You know,
you keep on social level.
Yeah, you keep it on that. You keep it on whatever is the level, or let's say this close or whatever it is, but you don't get into those areas. If you can help, then you do. But if not, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
because the relationship is there, so it just functions within that. But if they have good relations with devotees, they're doing Krishna-conscious things, and naturally sadhana will increase with time. So just like the one, they may be efficient on, you know, getting things done, or the sadhana, or things like that. Then you're going to see, yes, relationships will be slow, so you only take those as far as what they can handle also. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can also sometimes split those who have good sadhana but can't do anything, and those who can do things and also don't have sadhana.
Yeah.
You know? So someone who can do things and have sadhana means they can structure their lives.
That's rare cases.
Yeah, and but more rare is if they can they're efficient in performance of duties, they have good sadhana, and they have nice relationships with people.
That's like barrier.
Yeah. Everybody in Bhagavatam. Except Vishwamitra, you know, like that. But you know what I'm saying? In other words, that's the Vedic tradition, is that's what you're looking for. Is they're good in varna and ashram, and in ashram then they're good at their sadhana and at the, you know, the family and all those kind of things like that. So that's then what the training is. But the modern is to do one, you have to cut the other, you know, just like to, you know, are the five groups of living entities you protect. You protect one by unprotecting another one. So that's all. You know, I can put in time with family, but either the sadhana goes or the, you know, the occupation goes. But I can't maintain the family, you know, with the sadhana, but I can with the occupation, so I'll keep that. Or, you know, it's just... So it's a problem, is that without the training, without... So these things are piety. That's what's not understood. It's thought that just with intelligence, with knowledge and skill, I'll make it all happen. But actually, it's piety that makes it happen. Because all the things that we're looking at in the way of morality, justice, economics, you know, the social interactions that we're talking in the modern context and these things, they're all on the platform of artha. And artha comes from dharma. So without dharma, you can't actually have these things. They'll talk about them. But you can talk about so many things. How great is the car to the second-hand car salesman? Oh, it's a fabulous car. You know, it's like it dropped out of... It's better than a new car. You know? So that's the whole point, is you can talk whatever you like, but then there's reality. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that the Vedic system is the system, but... If you focus on the artha aspect, you'll never really get it. You have to focus on the dharma aspect. That will get you artha. But the problem is if you don't have the piety to focus on dharma, then you have to focus on bhakti. And... And by focusing on bhakti, why focus on bhakti if you're not trying to get bhakti? So you might as well focus on bhakti to get bhakti. And because by getting bhakti, then you'll have the piety that you'll naturally be engaged in dharma. And from dharma will come artha. Those things will come on their own. But you have to have faith for that.
We see that the bhakti, it develops independently.
Yes, because it doesn't require material piety, which is lacking.
Exactly. But then piety, it builds up, so it takes much longer.
It does.
In certain cases.
Yes. Well, yes, it does. So that's the whole thing, is that's why we have to wait. That was the problem with the question, or the point being made by the... how you say? The... On Sunday, you heard the question on Sunday? The question on Sunday was that, you know, ISKCON started off with a big bang and all that, all the preaching, all the rah-rah and all that, but then, you know, it couldn't be maintained and all that, and so now we're getting into that, you know, actual sustainability, now we're doing the real thing and all that, though they're not actually focusing on the other part, you know? So what's missing is that every soul can be engaged in devotional service. So what they can catch of the direct activities. Because where's the problem? Was the problem in how they chanted their japa or did kirtan or even go out and sing and play the mridanga? like that, or the worship of the deity, there was a problem there. You know what I mean? In the way of, it was disturbing society. Or what about when they took Peshawar or stuff? You know, like, not that they got down there and like this, like, you know, something. You know what I'm saying? They, you know. So in other words, the direct activities, the devotional service, they were doing fine. In fact, people today would be, how you say, in a good position if they would be as committed and focused in those direct activities. But because of lack of piety, then the secondary activities they weren't very good at. So culturally or socially, there may have been weaknesses. And so people who come from a more pious background are pointing them out, like any smarter can do. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then the problem comes is that just as throughout the Bhagavatam, even you're performing all religious activities, but if it's not please Krishna, it's a waste of time. Second, you know, in the first canto, I think second chapter, it makes that point. Prahlad Maharaj makes that point. Everybody makes that point. And somehow or another, this point is not gained. It's because I do the religious properly. That's why bhakti is so fabulous. So then you have this thing is where they have material piety, but they mistake material piety for spiritual piety, and they think they're doing fabulous. But that's called the Prakriti Sahaja. Not Sahaja, excuse me, Prakriti Bhakta, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And how can we see that there is success also being seen in this particular case that you're speaking about?
Can we say their success?
They are successful.
But how do you define success?
The number of people that they get in.
Oh, so it's all numbers. So then we're way behind the Christians. I mean, they got 2 billion people. So we're pooper time, right? That's an old one. Right? Right? We're pretty useless here. So because numbers is everything. Because when you get numbers and you have numbers and everything like this, this is exactly what somebody who is in the field of money goes for. In other words, Vaishyas and Shudras value numbers, and Brahmas and Kshatriyas value what is the quality of it. So if you have one Brahman, it'll work. But if you only have numbers, then Vaishyas and Shudras are happy. This was introduced, and this is not a modern thing, this was introduced by the Ionians 2,500 years ago.
Because, Maharaj, you know, the statement being made is on the basis of...
Yeah, go ahead. Knock me out with this one by Prabhupada. How many devotees, how many temples you make? You got 7 damn temples. 7. You got 20, 30,000 devotees and only 7 temples. Why don't they go out and open a temple?
No, they have opened a temple.
Yeah, a temple. 10,000 devotees and they only got 7 temples? Give me a break.
Because
10,000 devotees should be opening temples all over the world, but they're not about to leave their nice, comfortable, cushy Hindu life to go out and open a temple like these Westerners would. They'd give up everything, family, home, everything, to go out and do that for Lord Chaitanya. And then they're going to criticize that was a big bang.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes, so that's the point. When you start off talking on this pride of your family tradition, your background, your piety, your wealth, your knowledge and all that, what does Bhagavatam say about such a person? And so then we take this as standard, and they're going to make the judgments on the rest of the world? Judge those devotees in the early days when Prabhupada tried to get them to do, and their fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers would have nothing to do with it. And they're so proud. Well, he went over there and people that had nothing, they took it up. And it's not that they were from poor backgrounds. They're from wealthy Western backgrounds. Just what they want their kids to have. Right? And so then they had what they want. And they gave it up to go do something for Prabhupada. And then they're going to say is that, oh, it was a big bang. The point is it fizzles because people gave up trying to focus on the direct activities and trying to put it into secondary activities without having the actual piety to do it. So as long as you're proud of your material piety, you'll always remain a neophyte. No matter how pukka you are, first class, how arrangements you can make, it's like, you know, hair stand on end, nice arrangements. But at the same time, what does it matter? Because it's a religious activity. And therefore it's a waste of time. So to judge things simply on volume and numbers by Indians. Prabhupada said the Americans, if you don't do something big, you know, it's how many books you distributed, how many devotees you've made, because they only think in numbers. You would expect a little bit more from Indians, especially pious Indians, especially Indians from, you know, go back a few generations, Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? Modern Brahmin means you went to IIT. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I don't buy all this jazz. Yes, you want to do something big. Yes, you want to do all these things. But if you think that because you did that, that's what makes it superior, that's not the point. The superiority is the ability to work together or do all these things. That's the nice thing. Caring for the devotees, doing all that. So we have to be very, very careful. Because as soon as people started to doubt the importance of these direct activities, direct preaching and all that, that's when things start to fall apart. Instead of keeping that and then adding in these other things. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have some fabulous food, but it's on a paper plate. And complaining about, you know, we have this, you know, stuff and it's on a paper plate and it's uncultured and this and that. And so then they spend the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years working very hard and getting naritake, you know, porcelain and the arrangements and this and that, and there's no food.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the whole point is you have the form of devotional service and doing that nicely is good. It's important. But to say because you're doing that, then people who did things that none of them can do, that's not proper. They do amazing things, but not as amazing as leaving the whole thing behind, going somewhere where you know nobody and nothing, and doing that. Yes, Indians are doing that. They're going to America or all over the world to do that, only to make money, not to open one temple. You know what I'm saying? They'll go off. They don't know anybody. They'll go there. They'll live out of a shoebox or something like that until they get, you know, enough money in that, and then they're well situated. And now they can talk to devotees, you know, invite them over like that. But the thing is, these guys left everything, went to places they don't know anybody, countries they don't know. Yet an American kid, 19-year-old kid, I think it was, went to Germany. He doesn't know German. And he opened the yatra there. Like that. You name me one on your list that's willing to do that.
None.
Yes, so that's the point. So don't give me this Big Bang theory. And say what you like. Big Bang is very popular. Right? Yes.
Quality of the Vaishya are things like cow protection, farming.
Yes, but they think in numbers.
No, I know. But in terms of... when they have extra agricultural products, they sell it and do business.
Yes.
So technically, what people are doing today, what they call business, are they technically even vaishyas?
Yes, because trade is also one of them, trade and banking. So there's more emphasis on trade and banking than there is on cows and land. So before it was the emphasis in the Vedic system was on cows and land. Right? Because if you have that, then you have everything you require. But in the modern context, in the modern city life, they put more emphasis on trade and banking.
But they're
vaishyas.
But it's two different things. I mean, trade and banking is based on, you know, protecting cows and agriculture.
No. There's trade and banking. It means if it's based on a agrarian lifestyle, you know, in the background. But the point is where are we now? It means the pastime. Where are we?
Indraprastha.
And is this a village?
No.
It's a city. And you're talking about a really lot of people. It means the cities today don't come anywhere near the population these guys have. So you're talking about huge places, huge arrangements and everything like that. And so the people in the city, they're what agriculture are they doing? You know what I'm saying? So they're doing, if there's businessmen there, they're doing trade. It may have come from that, but even your modern, eventually it had to come from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? So this idea is that if it's not based on cows and the land, it's not varnashram, it's not, that's also nonsense. It's that it's not ideal, but it's there. You know, otherwise, if we really want to be strict like that, can we call very many of our people who are married, can we actually call them grihasthas by the Vedic version? Because the Vedic version, they're called grihastha brahmacharis. I remember one lady, from a high-class Brahmin family. She was saying that when she got married and when she was, you know, leaving to go to the boy's house, her mother called her over and told her, how many children I have? That's how many times I had sex with your father. That's it. She didn't say anything more. So this is standard. This is normal. We sent some devotees around to go interview, you know, all these high class families and find out so many different things that we wanted to find out. They all talk like that. That was standard. So now if we want to introduce that and push that point, otherwise they're not Vaishnavas, do we actually even have grihasthas? You know what I'm saying? And is it about, grihastha means it's an ashram, it's about Krishna. And if it's kind of they work in Krishna when they like, how they want, and this and that, technically that's a grihamedi. Grihamedi doesn't mean they can't be God conscious. It just means that the griha is the center. And then God happens to be one of the, you know, how you say, satellites around the center. So if you want to really get into it, you can take anything apart, especially anything from the modern context. So we always have to be very, very careful on this, is that we do the best we can. It means in its pure state, we see that in the spiritual world. So how Nanda Baba and all them, that's your perfection there. And then you see, you know, Indraprastha or Dwarka like this. Now this is, you know, your Kshatriyas and really good quality there. You know, Uddhava and others, these are your Brahmins. You know, Narad Muni, you know, so many persons like this that they're fully absorbed, but they're all God conscious. But the form that they're following, that's the best. Then you get whatever you can here, and it just, you get, goes down. And so as people's consciousness, then that's what they are. It's just the quality's not very good. You know, it's just like, have you ever used one of the kind of local cars to go to Krishnagar or stuff? No. Or have you ever gotten on a bus around here to get anywhere? You've never. Wow. Very pious. Seems to be no sinful reactions to work off. Okay. Have you ever been in some kind of vehicle driving down the roads?
In India?
Yeah. So now, technically, according to an American standard, would you call them roads? Yeah, so the thing is that's the whole point. So yes, they are Vaishyas, but maybe not very good ones. They may are yes, they are grihasthas, not very good ones. Right? 8-lane cement highway, that's good. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it is what it is, but it may not be its full potential. So these things all are there. So that's the ideal. That's what you'd like to get to. But the point is now, how many people live on a farm? Within our society, how many live on a farm? Not a big percentage. Let us just say we take, you know, what, like, just what? A couple of percent or something? 5%. Let's just say we say 5%. How many of that 5% that live on the farms actually do anything with the cows or the land?
pay for one.
5% of those, right? Yeah. So then they'll get in their, what do you call them? SUV, is that what you call them?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the one with the sliding door that you pack all the family in and that?
Huh?
No, it's a van. Like that. You know, they get into one of those of family and this, and then they go into town to buy stuff. They drive off to work wherever they're going and this and that. So they're living on the farm. It's actually just a suburb. It's not actually their farm people. They're city people. They're urban people living outside the city. So it's a suburb. It just happens to be that, you know, it nicely overlaps. So we can call it a farm and feel good, but at the same time, it's a suburb. You know what I'm saying? Because if we call our farm suburbs, people might not think it's so fabulous. But you call it a farm, sounds a little more idealistic, right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that they're not. So then if we want to establish the concepts of business and these kind of things, where do we have to establish it? Where are all the devotees? In the city. So that's where it has to start. How to be a Brahmin in the city, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Shudra, how to do that? Because that's where the devotees are. But if you're saying, no, only when we're out on the farms and all that, and who's saying that? Guys that are saying all that over a computer and wouldn't go out and do that if they're, you know, if they had to. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Or they are a farmer and they're getting down there and doing all that, and then they're saying, if you're not doing it, then you're not good. You know what I'm saying? So it's just they don't know what they're talking about. So the point is, problem comes is that you have to deal with what you're at. That's what Prabhupada's mentioning in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You have your standard, you have your ideal, and you have the philosophy. So in other words, you have the philosophy, which is you know, correct, and then you have the religion. So the religion is the thing that you have to make have some range in that... up to the stand, you know, first class, second class, third class, fourth, like this. But in the philosophy, it's always first class, but it's just a matter of if it's just the essence or do you expand it from there depending upon their ability to understand. Because it's a descending process. Right? So, and the other one, it's an ascending process. We get the knowledge from down, but our practice makes it go up. You understand? So then, in that, then Prabhupada's mentioning that the preachers, then they see the time, place, and circumstance to work out how to best preach to engage them in direct devotional service. And you see that's what Prabhupada did. So he had people that had no material piety as such in the way of, you know, the standards of the Vedic version, and had them engaged in pure devotional service. That they were respected by honest persons who themselves were extremely pious. Because they could see, these people are doing what I cannot do. I'm too attached. I'm attached to the mode of goodness. So I can't do these things. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that, yes, you have to be able to accommodate and do all those things, but you have to. But it doesn't mean there's any compromise in the standards of the philosophy or the culture. But how much... you know, they're involved in how much they're doing, but it's still according to the standards. You know, it's not that you water it down or change it or things like that. That's many, you know, may profess that, but that's not the way it needs to be done. And it's not really successful either. You know what I'm saying? Those who talk about that, all they can do is try to convert those who are already practicing devotees to their philosophy. But going out on the street and making people off the street, how many are they doing? Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So there's not a problem in having to adjust for the things, but you have to be able to see what's the essence, what makes them. Right? In other words, the Vaishya is he makes profit. Right? But he's not doing it by illegal methods. He's not cheating people. But it doesn't mean he doesn't make profit. You know what I'm saying? That's how business works. I buy it cheaper than I sell it. That's not cheating. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so then that's how they do.
So I was trying to think of why, like Prabhupada says that it seems as though in the villages and in when you have a village lifestyle, then it's more conducive to practicing Krishna consciousness. So I was trying to understand why devotees don't want to do that. And I observed some very unattractive things about village people and village lifestyle.
Like, but that's exactly why.
Yeah,
the point is you find them unattractive. Everybody else finds them unattractive. That's why they're not attractive.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of attractive bits, but like their kids are running around with like dirt and they, you know, there's rubbish everywhere.
Yes, but the point is that's what you see, because in a village there's no veneer. But any major city of the world, you have that going on. You can go to Paris and part of Paris looks like that.
Yes, but devotees don't.
You know, I'm saying that. I think they made there was that whole play Les Miserables or whatever. Yeah, like that. That's about those guys.
Yeah, but devotees don't get involved in that. That ones that live in the city, they don't look like that. Generally speaking.
Yeah, it's like I said, one of my best programs in America is that I went to the devotee's house and you're going by the cars that, you know, they drop them down, and then when they want to talk to you, they jack them up, and they all got tattoos, and, you know, you kind of worry about it. So the point is that
I'm not talking about the simple lifestyle, and there's some really wholesome.
I know, but that's the point but everybody only sees that.
Well, there's kids like coming up to begging and ratting, and you know, they don't know about things.
Right, and in Europe, you don't have to, like in Amsterdam, you just walk out of the airport or out of the train station, put your bag down, make a phone call, everything's cool, right? Amsterdam is like, you know, you sneeze, your stuff's gone. You know? Literally. You know what I'm saying? It's all it is there's a veneer on it that it's not supposed to be like that, but it is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you have the biggest slums in the world are not in India. Right? They're in the big Western cities. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is nobody goes there. You don't see that part. But it's not that it's not there. That's what I'm saying. It's big and all that. The village is not big. The kids run around. They can run around. Can the kids run around in the big city? No. So that's why you don't see like that. You know? So the whole point is that there's a principle there and you try to apply it. And people don't like it. It's they don't have the piety to live there. That's all.
I guess I'm trying to find out if it was always like that, if that's or if it's just
the Indian villages.
Yeah.
No, only since they came in contact with those from outside of India.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because it can't be like that's not Vedic. Half the
yes, okay, that's true.
The young men, the way that they behave, what they're wearing, what they're doing. What
yes, but what are they trying to do? They're trying to emulate the Western lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so therefore the West doesn't mind making all their money off of these guys and then complaining that they're savages. It's just like, how much gold was there in South America? Right? Yeah. Basically all the gold that Europe had. You know, so between... means you take, you know, the Far East, you take India, you know, you take, you know, Africa, you take South America, you take the whole, what we call now the third on down world, and take all of their wealth away that they had. There was way more than Europe had. And then Europe takes that, and now they complain that everybody's so poor. You know what I'm saying? So the difficulty comes is that the non-Vedic lifestyle doesn't have appropriate, consistent standards. So we can't base what we're dealing with on that. We have to go by the Vedic standard. Because, yes, they may be snotty-nosed kids, but how's their bum?
I didn't check.
While the Western kids, they don't have a snotty nose, but their bum's not clean. You know what I'm saying? So just, you know, these little kids, village kids, after they eat, they wash their hands and mouth. They take a bath every day. Yeah. The Western kids, you can't guarantee any of that. So that's the thing. It looks like it's more sophisticated. That's the whole point. It's a veneer. You know? The point is you talk to these kids, they like you, they like you. They don't like you, they don't like you. But you talk to the city kids, they say they like you, they don't like you. You know, you can't tell. So the whole point is that the idea is the simpler your life, the easier it is in Krishna consciousness. Maybe you don't live in the village, but the more you keep your life simple, the easier it is, it works. So you take the principle of it. If we're going to get into the secondary detail, we're not going to get anywhere.